Very glad to draw your attention to Psalm 109. It's our practice on the first Lord's Day of each month to give what we call a psalm meditation. It's a brief explanation of the psalm. And before I read it, I want to call something to your attention here. I want to alert you to the fact that this psalm uses very strong language. It's the type of psalm that is often neglected and often misunderstood in today's culture. We believe that all of Scripture is God's Word, and including this psalm. We believe that it's God's Word and is profitable to us. By way of explanation, this psalm is called a psalm of imprecation, or a psalm that prays for God to judge his enemies. As I said, sometimes we squirm a little bit when we read words like these. Our modern sensibilities sometimes seem to think that we know better than God. We like to praise God for his love, kindness, and forgiveness. But this psalm reminds us that God is also holy and just. And it leads us to praise God for those attributes as well. And so when we read very strong language about the judgment of God against his enemies, it leads us to express a righteous indignation over sin in our own lives and over wickedness in the world. This is not a psalm of personal vengeance. It is a psalm of God's holiness. With that in mind, I'd like you to hear Psalm 109. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Do not keep silent, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful have opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set a wicked man over him, and let an accuser stand at his right hand. When he is judged, let him be found guilty, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children continually be vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also from their desolate places. Let the creditor seize all that he has, and let strangers plunder his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy to him, nor let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered before the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be continually before the Lord, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he did not remember to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him, and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Let this be the Lord's reward to my accusers and to those who speak evil against my person. But you, O God the Lord, deal with me for your name's sake. Because your mercy is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I am gone like a shadow when it lengthens. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. I also have become a reproach to them. When they look at me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord my God. O save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, let them stand, let them be ashamed, but let your servant rejoice. Let my accusers be clothed with shame, and let them cover themselves with their own disgrace as with a mantle. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. By way of explanation, this psalm teaches us to pray in the midst of troubles. What's your first impulse when you face a difficult situation? More often than not, I find myself rushing headlong to take matters into my own hands. But David does something very different in this circumstance. Even though it seemed like everyone and everything was against him, David bowed before the Lord to pray and to ask for God to mediate on his behalf. In a sense, this psalm leads you to plead your case in the highest possible court, to plead your case with God himself rather than trying to take things into your own hand. This psalm is amazingly direct and honest, isn't it? It is very transparent as David describes the troubles that he faces. He doesn't mince words when he describes those that were against him. The focal point really comes in verse 4, where he says, "In return for my love, they became my accusers, but I give myself to prayer." If you read through the Old Testament and read through the life of David, you'll find how often is the case that David, even though he was king and even though he was found God's favor, that over and over he faced opposition and open persecution. Even some of his closest friends turned out to be false and turned on him. They rewarded David evil for good and hatred for love. So what did David do? David's first response and ultimate response is to pray. And I'll touch on this in just a moment. But before we do, I want to remind you that David also stands as a representative of Christ. He teaches us of Jesus from the Old Testament perspective. David was a king ordained by God to serve his people. And Jesus comes as our perfect King and Savior. As you think through this psalm throughout the month, I want you to think especially of Jesus. He is one who could especially say, "They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love." In fact, in the New Testament, Matthew alludes to this psalm in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. In verse 25, it describes the crowds around the cross shaking their heads at the one that was called the Messiah. Shaking their heads of the one that they shouted down and said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Jesus, the Son of God, received the scorn of men just as David did as well. And he suffered the wrath of God. And what was Jesus' response? Even on the cross, he prayed. And he prayed for those who persecuted him. That leads us to follow David's example and Jesus' example in praying in the midst of even persecution. There are four different things that I'll just very briefly call to your attention for you to meditate on. First of all, pray earnestly. I said this is an honest and direct psalm. David says, do not be silent, God. His intense need leads him to pray earnestly for his situation. Secondly, pray specifically. David identified those who worked against him. We find that these enemies are not just ones who had hurt David's feelings. These are real enemies of God and enemies of God's people. They deal treacherously, not only with David, but they oppress the needy and they curse God's people. Pray specifically and identify sin in your own life to pray against. And pray against those that that are enemies of God. Third, pray against the enemy. In verse 6 and following, David enters into those prayers that are the strong words that I described. David asks God to judge the enemy, to cut him off, to leave his family in debt without relief, asking God to remember sins. They said these are the words that are the ones that are the most uncomfortable for us. But they're uncomfortable in light of our own dispositions rather than God's holiness. And this is a psalm that leads us to consider that God is a holy and just God and that He does not leave the guilty unpunished. It's right then for us to pray against God's enemies, to pray against the enemy, Satan. We pray against the enemy who mocks God and belittles Christ and His church. This is not, as I said, a prayer for personal vengeance. Instead, it is taking up God's honor in our prayers and in our praise. Very, very specifically, we also do not pray against brothers and sisters in Christ as enemies when they sin against us. This is not a psalm that's given for that purpose. Instead, we pray for God's honor. And fourthly and finally, we pray for mercy. In verses 21 and following, David asks God to be merciful. It's as if David realizes that even as he prays against sin, that he recognizes himself. And don't we recognize ourselves when we pray against sin and wickedness? Don't we recognize that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? So even as we pray for the honor of God to be lifted up and for His name to be glorified, we recognize our need for mercy. And we pray for that very same mercy that God promises. He takes His case to the highest court, and in that highest court he finds that he needs mercy. And he finds that he receives mercy from God Himself. It's especially expressed in that very last verse, verse 31. For He, that is God, shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those who condemn him. This is David's hope, that God would send His own Son, Jesus Christ, to stand at our right hand and be our Redeemer. It's the grounds that we have for prayer and for praise, that God is with His people. May that be your hope and prayer too. We'll be meditating on this by singing it as well, and I encourage you to take your Psalters now and turn to Psalm 109, first selection.